So, faith. Before Christmas, feeling a bit hemmed in. Before Christmas, someone said, or faith was discussed, wasn't it? And then I looked at Simon, I said, that sounds like a preach. Not knowing that. There is one, yeah. It's being done now. So it's been an eye-opener for me. Most of the time it is whenever I do a preach. Sorry, I've got my back to people, haven't I? Yeah, could do, come on. because I'll get as much out of it by preparing it as I hope you get from when I deliver it, because I'm on a learning curve. So faith the size of a mustard seed. I'll work out which one it is now. There it is. And the slides are working. Checked them this morning, Paul, so got the right font. So mustard seeds are the small round seeds of various mustard plants. The seeds are usually about 1 to 2 millimetres in diameter and may be coloured either yellow-whitish, whatever that is, to black. And then obviously there's an example there. There's a finger with a mustard seed on the end of it. So it is tiny. So as you know, I like to break things down. So dictionary meaning of faith is complete trust or confidence in someone or something. And I was quite shocked at this. There's a second one there as well, which was a strong belief in the doctrines of a religion based on a spiritual conviction rather than proof. And that kind of spoke to me because it is, that's what it's all about, and it's actually, because we weren't there with Adam and Eve, we've got to use our spiritual conviction to believe in God and everything is done. So yeah, I was like, okay, I'll put that in there. So it's there. Faith is the measure of your personal confidence in God. I also like that one as well. Faith is the noun form of the words like, believe and trust. The Christian life begins with faith. The Christian life begins with faith and lives by it daily. Through faith, we are saved, sanctified, and serve. It's one of your words, isn't it, Chris? Sanctified. When I was, eh? I don't know, Anne. What does it mean?
Sorry, which bit?
Sanctified. Yeah, not an easy one. Yeah, sorry, missed that. I should have done that, shouldn't I?
Holy, right. Right, it means right. It means being pure.
Sorry, what did Aaron say? Holy means
like set apart for a special purpose.
Set apart for a special purpose.
Yeah.
Just checking.
So, holy,
set aside.
Okay, cool. So, from this, I was drawn to look at examples of faithful people in the Bible. Anybody want to shout out some names of what, you know, comes to mind when we think of faithful people?
Jephthah.
Moses. Who?
Jephthah.
That's all coming from this side of the room. Anything from over here?
Ruth.
Abraham. So,
Matthew.
Yeah.
Mary.
Peter. You're just shouting names now, aren't you? Right, okay. So, so I picked out some, which I think are pretty inspirational. First one's a bit of a, okay, wouldn't that be a nice place to be? Ready? Enoch. Enoch. So, this was amazing to me because by faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not have to experience death. So, because when he was on the earth, he could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. But that struck me. That's amazing. That's like God was so blessed by Enoch's faith. He said, you don't have to go through the death thing. I'll just take you now. And it's like, okay. I know that's a bit simplistic, but that's my interpretation. So that's as good as it gets, I'm afraid. Enoch, any idea who might be next? Noah. Yeah? I mean, so by faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. What struck me about Noah is that he was warned about there was going to be a flood, there was going to be downpours and everything, yeah? I mean, to us, we just think, yeah, we've seen rain. It can rain heavy. It can be really bad. But what you got to remember, what it doesn't tell you there, is that up until when he was warned, it had never rained on earth. Yeah? There'd never been any rain. And when it actually... That's right, isn't it, Jonathan? Yeah? And when it happened, it didn't just come down. It came out of the ground as well to flood the earth. So for someone to start building a boat because he's been told it's going to rain when it's never ever rained, that's faithful, isn't it? Yeah. Good old Noah. And when you, I was going to do it, but it would have taken up too much time. When you look at Noah's family line, Enoch was 7 times his grandfather or something. Yeah. So Noah's family line was a faithful line, if you know what I mean. Which, because there was other people as well. Chris, help me out. Other people on Noah's family line. So his other grandfathers and...
Jesus was from him. Abraham was from him, I think.
Yeah. Methuselah. Yeah, that was one I read. Anyway, so Noah was good. The next one's quite inspirational as well.
I just say something there, that for some of us in the room, we were the first people in our families that became men and women of faith. For some of us, doesn't matter.
Brian.
Keep talking.
For some of us were the first people in our family line that became people of faith, people who met Jesus. And just as we talk about, like Noah and his the line of the generations who were people of faith after him, that in if you are the beginning of that journey in your family line, then that will also be carried down the generations. And that's incredible, isn't it? That you will have the privilege of passing on this faith, this relationship with Jesus, to those who come after you.
Cheers, then. Next one. There. Thank you. Next one. Another amazing story. Gideon. So the account of Gideon in Judges, chapters 6 to 8, Gideon is introduced as a weak and fearful man, hiding and sneaking food to feed his family during the Midianite invasion. But God saw him differently, saw him as a mighty man of valor. Gideon believed God and delivered Israel in spite of overwhelming odds. So imagine there's going to be a bit of a punch-up, there's going to be a fight. So Gideon has got 30,000 troops, yeah? And then he's talking to God, and God says, I won't get the glory if you use 30,000 troops. He said, so what do you do? Is send out a message. So nowadays it would be like send a text saying to your troops, if you're scared, if you don't want to die or you don't want to get hurt, go home. Can you imagine that? Yeah. What happened was 20,000 of his troops got up and left. So he's now left with 10,000. And he's facing overwhelming odds. Yeah? And then God said, still not enough. He's like, okay. So God said to him, take your 10,000 troops down to the river and watch them drink. So they went down to the river and they drank. 9,700 of them, quick maths there, lapped at the water. 300 actually cupped the water and drank from their hands. And God said, take those 300, send the other 9,700 home. So he did. So now he had 30,000, he's now got 300 troops. And he goes into battle and he wins. So that is pretty amazing. So then God got the glory because he only used 300 instead of 30,000. But can you imagine being like the commander of an army and it's like, just send 29,700 of your troops home and just keep 300. You'd be like, or me, I'd be like, no. Gideon's like, okay, sorry. Okay, let's do it. Yep. Sorry?
You can't imagine what the troops were thinking
of
the
group.
Yeah. Yeah. 300
men of faith.
Yeah. Yeah. They're okay with it
more. Samson judged Israel during a time of Philistine bondage. He was a thorn in the side of the Philistines his entire adult life. The Holy Spirit would come upon him, giving Samson supernatural strength. Samson was a man with serious flaws, but God still used him. That spoke to me because it means, I know I'm not perfect, but God's still using me, do you know? So, and that applies to anybody in the room. By faith, he was a one-man army, killing thousands of the enemy. You can read this story in Judges 13, chapters 13 to 16. Actually, Gideon could have done with him on his side. Yeah? David's storied life displays the mountains and the valleys of the faith life. He accomplished the impossible, lived through the unbearable, did the unthinkable, and trusted God through it all. The book of Psalms gives us an intimate look into the heart of faith. You can read about David's life in 1 and 2 Samuel, yeah. 2 Samuel and 1 Chronicles, yeah? So now we're going back, more up to date now. We're going to come to Jesus, yeah? Jesus heals the demon-possessed boy. So I'll just read this out. So this is Matthew 17, 14 to 18. When they came to the crowd, so Jesus has been up in the mountains, and this was the transfiguration. They just come down off the mountain. When they came to the crowd, so they're coming down the mountain, they come to a crowd. A man approached Jesus and knelt before him. Lord, have mercy on my son, he said. He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him. So then Jesus, my uncanny way of thinking, turns to the disciples. So I was kind of thinking he got a little bit of the ump, if you know what I mean. Turned to the disciples and said, you unbelieving and perverse generation, Jesus replied, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me. Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed at that moment. So that's just identifying or showing us a lack of faith, yeah, on part of the disciples. Then the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, why couldn't we drive it out? He replied, because you have so little faith. Truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, and we all know how small that is now, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. And that's Matthew 17, 19 to 20. So moving on from there, Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. And that's in Matthew 10:1, sorry. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message: the kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons, freely give. Leprosy is a Greek word, and it means skin complaint, apparently. I looked that one up, but I didn't look up sanctified, did I? Okay, so I like this because obviously I think God's called me to pray for people healing, so I like this, and I want to encourage everybody else to, but we'll do that a bit later, I think. The prayer of faith. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let him pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous person is powerful and effective. And that's James 5:13-16, which I think we've done last year, didn't we, James? Did we do James last? So, as an encouragement, just some other scriptures that I found that are to encourage us to be faithful. Mark 11:24. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Matthew 21:22. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. You can see a theme here. John 14:13. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. John 15:7. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. John 16:23. Very truly I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Yeah. Woo! And I've been encouraged because those of us that are on the WhatsApp and the prayer requests and updates, is it prayer requests and updates or just prayer requests? Okay. I've been encouraged because of people's responses when someone puts out like, you know, I've got pain. The responses from people is amazing. It's good. I don't respond as much as I should. I know, I apologise for that, but I will make a conscious effort to do it. What I like to do when I put on my response is I like to write it as a prayer and then put amen at the end of it, because then I'm thinking every time each one of you reads it, you're repeating my prayer for that person. So that person's getting prayed for on a good day 20 or 30 times. Do you know what I mean? So it's good. Woo! Another one in. So, 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. That's not easy, is it? Giving thanks in all circumstances. So not just when it's good, but when it's bad as well. So, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Almost sounds like a prayer, doesn't it? Mustard seeds are the small round seeds. Oh no, done this one, haven't I? But that's just a picture of the mustard seed. That's all I wanted. I didn't want the words. So mustard seed, yeah? So this mustard seed we've identified as being 1 to 2 millimetres, yeah? Grows into mustard plants. And apparently, although it's the smallest seed, it's one of the fastest growing plants, yeah? Talking, I think I read 40 to 85 days before it's fully matured. Did you know something else about a mustard seed? That it can grow into a tree. Yeah? I didn't know that. I just thought it was a mustard plant. But it can grow into the tree. And it is one of the fastest growing trees there is. And when it's fully grown, it will be approximately 20 to 30 foot tall. And it will span about 20 foot. Yeah? Sorry?
Sorry, just thinking about trees taking out power lines. Sorry.
Fortunately, they didn't have power lines back then. Bethlehem was severely lacking in power lines, but yeah, I get what you're saying. Trees, okay. So I thought the tree was significant as a symbol of faith. Yeah? So in another parable, Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree so that birds come and perch in its branches. When I read that, I was now fully understanding what a mustard seed can do. I was blown away. I thought that was amazing. And that's Matthew 13, 31 to 32. So in summary, the mustard seed is very tiny, 1 to 2 millimetres in diameter. Yet when fully grown, the tree can be as tall as 20 to 30 foot, with branches and leaves spanning another 20 foot circumference. Yeah, so it's not a flat tree, it's actually round. The magnificence of the mustard seed, mustard tree is not really in its height, but how wide the branches can span. The mustard seed analogy makes more sense now. This is me verbally processing, but with a typewriter or a keyboard. Instead of a small garden plant, it is now offering shade, strength, and shelter for others. So I thought that was significant to the Christian life, because it's like living by faith, yeah, is something that we should do. And if we focus on living by faith, then that seed is going to grow into a plant, yeah? And eventually, it's going to grow into the tree where we then become useful to other people, because we can offer them shade, strength, and shelter. Yeah, so I think that's it. There's the picture of the tree to finish with.